Welcome to another sensational episode of Coffee with Source. I'm so delighted to be here today with my guest, Kubra. Kubra calls herself the happiness alchemist. And let's chat with her now, find out what that means and how she's created this title for her. Remember, this season is about resilience. Let's dive in and see what nuggets Kubra can share with us. Welcome to the show, Kubra.
Hi, Emma. Thanks for having me.
I was just, you know, telling Kubra, what a cool name.
Thank you.
You know, it makes me think of like a superhero. Like if I was a superhero, I would definitely want that name.
Oh, that's cool. Cooler than I thought.
So, you know, I know a little bit about your background. I just love your energy. You've pulled up my heartstrings by talking about work. That's so great. And I just feel like you and I could be best friends, but let's get into the show topic. Let's rewind for our guests who don't know what a happiness alchemist is. Yeah. What is your story of resilience? Where does it really begin for you?
Oh, I'm so excited to share all of this. First of all, thanks a lot for having me. And I think we are living in an energy world. And as people who are getting spiritual or who are doing coaching and etc., we act through a place of energies. This is how we meet, I guess. And happiness alchemist, I'm originally a chemist. And normally, you know, in the history, everything started with alchemy, and alchemists, the people who are the founder of chemistry. So for me, it was the opposite. I was against all those spiritual stuff. I was like thinking all of those things
you
are
were against
superstitions. Yeah.
I trained as a mini human to think that was like the dark side.
Yeah, you can say that actually, because I remember once I said, how one can do yoga, because if you like say om an hour or so, of course your brain will melt and you won't be stressed about anything because you won't be able to think. I remember I made this sentence. It is incredible. And yoga now is a big part of my journey. But it's an incredible change for me. It's a transformation, literally.
Okay, but this is such an incredible point, and people might be listening going, okay, but I want to underline this, and then I want to highlight it, because that is what fear-based vibrations look like, and we do it all the time in all areas of our lives. You know, for you it was yoga and things that were more on the esoteric side. I did it in my relationship, you know, where I had, this is an example, but I really want to drive this home. I'd gained a bunch of weight after my first pregnancy and convinced myself that, you know, my partner was going to cheat, that I was too fat, that I wasn't desirable, that I didn't deserve him, that I was disgusting, and lived in these looping fear thoughts.
Oh,
right. And so we do this all the time. We convince ourselves based on either, you know, something we read or somebody else's opinion or just this feeling that creeps up, and we allow it to take up space. So you're a chemist, and here you are thinking that yoga is going to melt your brain.
Yeah. And literally today I'm not working as a chemist. All I'm doing is my alchemy work, and I'm super happy about it. And what you mentioned about yourself is incredible, because we all at some point gaslighted by someone or self-gaslighted ourselves. And getting out of this and creating a huge life is something big. So I think here we should stop and celebrate ourselves and each other.
I celebrate you.
Thank you. Woo!
Oh my gosh, I love it. Okay, I want to bridge the gap here, because, you know, then we could just end the show and be like, oh, she's a happiness alchemist. That's awesome. She didn't believe, now she does. How cool. But I know there's so much more to the story. So how did you go from being a chemist who thought that, you know, chanting would melt your brain to being a happiness alchemist, what was that pivotal moment in your life where you're like, oh crap, I think there may be something bigger out there?
Yeah, actually it was like, I was at university living in another city, not with my parents. And one weekend I went to visit my parents and it was a happy evening we had, but in the morning I woke up and couldn't get up from the bed. And I tried it again. I tried to move my legs and fingers and nothing worked. Actually, each try was painful enough to stop. And then I started screaming because I remembered that 6 years ago, before that situation, my grandma had a stroke and she paralyzed, and her siblings had the same story as well. So I was there in that bed and crying and screaming and thinking that at the age 19, I was thinking I was sharing my grandma's destiny. And I was so alive. So, you know, I'm a Gemini. And I felt like
that's the why whole you're such world army. Collapsed.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I love the show a lot.
I know. Libras and Geminis. Yeah. So you're laying there 19. Now your first thought is, oh shit, grandma had a stroke. This is what happened. And you start screaming. What else?
Then my parents took me to hospital and I got 30 days, almost 30 days, daily shots for muscle relaxants. And I was a little better because we learned that I did not have a stroke. It was just a muscle pain. And a couple of years later, I learned that it's fibromyalgia. And the the bad part is, I remember like when I was 4, 5, or 8, 7 years old, I was like, in the mornings, I wasn't able to use my hands, like grabbing a mug or eating your food, because they were not functioning at the first hours. And none of the doctors we visited say nothing. And we pretended it's okay, it's my nature. And anyway, then when I was at university having this stroke kind of experience, this episode, in 2 years, I figured out nothing was normal. Having constant pain on my body was not normal, because most of the fibromyalgia patients, they believe it's normal. Everyone has this muscle pain, neck pain, or this is normal, but it is not normal. If there is anyone listening this episode and having constant pains in their back, or you know, backbone, or their neck, doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be normal. Please just check out what it is with your doctor.
But I feel like fibromyalgia is one of those things, I'm just going to pause here, that, you know, often goes undiagnosed, or is the label is thrown on something that they can't figure out. You know, yeah. And as women, what drives me up the wall, and I was long enough in the healthcare system to know this, you know, having rheumatoid arthritis and uveitis in my eyes and all of that, is how many times have I, you know, spoken about something that's going on with my doctor, whether it's a female or male doctor, and they tell me that it's stress, that it's hormonal, and that it's emotional, and that there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Stress. So I feel like
black belt.
Fibromyalgia is one of those. It's like, oh, this is what you have, and we can't really figure it out. But if it's also our job, I feel, to advocate and be persistent. So if that's you and you're being told, oh, you're just, you know, you're emotional, or you had a baby 6 months ago, or, you know, it's just this, it's just stress. You have to advocate for yourself, because you were seeing doctors when you were younger.
Yeah.
You had trouble using your hands, and they were like, oh, we don't know what it is. Oh, well, this is normal. This perfectly like beautiful child. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, exactly. And not seeing the problem as a problem, it is, you know, being lack of solution. And for me, I don't even think that I could have solve the problem if I wouldn't have two other episodes as well. So yeah. I paralyzed two more times after that, the first episode.
How long in between them?
I guess between the first and second one, like a couple of months, and then it's a little longer. So in total, three of them happened like 2 years.
Wow. Unbelievable.
But luckily, I had a class at university as a, you know, idealist person who adored his nuclear chemistry teaching. I actually, when I was at university as well, I was working with human, like in the medicine field. So in nuclear medicine, you kind of diagnose or treat human nature, like diseases. So what I'm doing is kind of similar to that, but my story starts there, how I wanted to help people at the physical level. And then in this class, that's very interesting, actually. I'm happy to share that. My teacher was talking about the subatomical world, and the thing that made me think, okay.
Did you say subatomical
world? Atomical. Yeah, like quantum chemistry. Yep. And there, for example, imagine that there is a piece of paper in front of you, and you cut out a piece in front of it. Then you can cut out another piece from the smaller piece, then like at the size of the original piece, actually. So it's not like the regular laws function in that world. So it made me think that, okay, then maybe as a scientist, as a like candidate, I should think things from a different perspective. And then, not a coincidence, at the end of that class, a friend from another class, she invited me to a seminar, which she called bioenergy. At that time, I thought it's something like related to renewable energy or something.
Yes. Okay, hybrid.
Yeah, yeah, I thought totally something different, but it was also very nice because for the first time I was trying something like that, and I felt like there were some flows in my body, and the person explained lots of things. Right now, to be honest, I don't even remember many of the things because it was like 2007 or 8, something like that.
But it
and
inspired
then,
you.
Yeah, but these two events inspired me. And then I think like 6 months later or something, I'm not sure, I had a friend who was a Reiki practitioner. I visited her. Actually, she was a friend of my mom, and I went there to stay over. And then three people gave me a Reiki treatment there for an hour. And after that, I don't remember when to be honest, it was the first time I felt that relaxed and that much joy and lightness in my body.
That sounds amazing. And I want to go back for those who are listening, who are saying, okay, you have this first episode, because this is about resilience, and we want to give, you know, whoever's listening, the tools and nuggets and inspiration. Your body is physically paralyzed. You're in excruciating pain. You're having to have these injections. You start to get a little bit better. You have another episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And then you have a third episode. What is going on through your mind? Because you shared with us that the first episode, you thought you were having a stroke. You thought, you know, this is my fate. What's going on the second and third time?
Well, obviously I was not afraid of that I'm having stroke anymore, but yeah. It was still too much pain, I was feeling. And it was
angry. Were you ever angry? I mean, you're 19, 20 years old. You're supposed to be having the time of your life at university, not be stuck in your own body.
I was feeling desperate, actually.
Yeah.
Quite desperate. And I was trying to understand, because, you know, for me, science were able to explain everything at that time. And finding out something that they cannot explain, they cannot help, because I also took many physiotherapy sessions as well, or massages, or I use the pills, I use the creams, I use shots, but nothing worked. So I kind of accepted that it's a part of my truth.
Oh. Wow. So would you say that you gave up, or you accepted it? You said, if this is what I have to keep doing for the rest of my life, this is what I'm going to do.
Not really. This is why I tried the Reiki session. And I think many of the healers start their journey with a physical problem. And I think it was mine. Well, yeah. There were many other physical problems than I healed on my journey, but it was the one. Major one. Yeah.
So what's going on in your mind when, you know, you're done these Reiki sessions and you're thinking, this is the most peace and freedom I've felt in my body in my whole life? Mm-hmm. Are you still thinking this is woohoo, and maybe you're making, like, what's going on in your mind? Are you like, I'm making this up? I want this so bad that.
No, not at all. I'm actually I'm teaching energy healing right now. And this entire weekend I was giving classes to my new students. So I'm a total believer now.
Because back then you weren't, right? Back then you were.
I was in a non-judgmental position, to be honest. I just told myself, okay, if in quantum chemistry or nuclear chemistry, with the things they were telling us is real by chance, then there must be something more. And also at that time, I was reading psychology books, and they were mentioning things about parapsychology. And I don't know if you heard, but United States has a transparency policy to some of their classified files since 1995, and you can't believe how much money they invested in parapsychology tests and like projects. It's unbelievable. So I was feeling, okay, if they are doing this, if the Russians doing this, then why shouldn't I spend my time on that? It was like a curiosity mostly, not a like judgment, or I don't know. It wasn't a statement. I just felt like, okay, I should try it for myself.
Yeah, from the skepticism, you moved from being skeptic to being curious.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I love that. So what goes on from here?
And then from here, I started practicing Reiki, and yoga, and now I'm an astrologer as well. I said something similar with yoga about astrology. Then now I'm a yoga teacher, astrologer, like, you know, never say big words.
Yeah, never say never, right?
Yeah, exactly. Never say never.
So why do you believe now in hindsight, because you're an energy healer and I'm sure you've done a lot of inner child work, so you must have the answer. Mm-hmm. What was energetically causing your body to paralyze? What was that blockage?
That's an incredible question. Thanks for asking, because I think it might be helpful for many people. Our muscles are the points that we are trying to be flexible or not flexible. So if we have a problem with flexibility, or we have a resistance to change or something, or if our lifestyle doesn't match with our nature, then we might experience this kind of situations related to muscles. So
love that.
Yeah. Thanks.
So for you, does that make sense now, knowing like the version of you that you were? Mm-hmm. And do you feel that you were someone who was resistant to change and not really flexible, very firm in your convictions?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. This is who I was. Because I decided to study chemistry at the I think it was the first grade of high school, and everything was so certain. I was sure what I'm gonna study, where I was gonna work, what I was gonna do. for the next like 20, 30 years. But it didn't go that way.
Oh, I love that. So you got curious, and I like to say you felt, you know, we follow the breadcrumbs and started learning about Reiki and all of these other modalities. And how is your body starting to feel during the process? Are you, you know, breadcrumb by breadcrumb that you're following, are you starting to feel more liberated in your body?
Exactly. You know what happens? For example, normally in the past, when I had an argument with someone, it doesn't have to be a big one. In an hour, I remember my neck used to block like totally. I wasn't able to turn my head. But then after having these sessions, giving myself or receiving from someone else, doesn't matter, you start feeling like your neck is getting free, like someone is taking out your chains from your neck. It's incredible how it can be possible, but it is possible. I experienced it for myself, for my clients, and for my friends and family. And I'm sure you also experienced similar
100%
things.
For me, it's my stomach.
Yeah. Oh, tell me about it.
You know, especially being a people pleaser, especially the minute I could feel the energy shift, and I didn't have the words to say it before, but it was just a look. But for me, it would completely destabilize my energetic field. And immediately it was like getting, you know, punched in the stomach. I could feel it in my gut, in my lower abdomen when I would argue with someone. And then my heart would start to race. But always, you know, gut issues. And I think that's so interesting that you're able to now look back and say, oh my God, my neck would block. Because that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. We tense up. We kind of want to protect ourselves. We're holding on to the armor. We're getting ready.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
And you figured this out on your healing journey. And are you able to let it go and reframe your mind at the same time? Or, you know, because I'm sure that if your body was at a point where you paralyzed three times, there was a lot that you were holding on to. You were really not in alignment with your soul's purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you have to let it go every time it comes up and acknowledge what's going on? How are you healing it?
It is a total mindset shift. It requires a total mindset shift, actually, because it's up to you. If you can do it once at a time, that's okay. Or step by step, it's okay as well. But most of the time, if there is something fibromyalgia, if it's not a regular neck problem or so, it's deeper. So it takes time and it's a journey. But where I am today is what I can say, what I can answer to that question. Well, I work with worthiness issues just because of that reason. The reason is worthiness is something that we all should have. And when we don't feel worthy, when we don't recognize our self-worth, this creates, you know, think about a country. If your borders are not safe and secure, inside of the country, there might be some issues, right? It might be some economical issues, some other crisis, or some safety issues, whatever. Just like that. If you don't feel your worth, you have trouble to set healthy boundaries.
Yeah.
And if you don't protect your boundaries, it's the same what happens to a country. Your mind gets confused, your emotions get confused. You say no to things you want to say yes. You say yes to things you want to say no.
I so agree with you. And I was meditating on worthiness a few weeks before the holidays because I felt like that was an issue that was coming up for me a lot and sort of blocking my abundance, if that makes sense.
Exactly.
On a conscious level, I was like, I'm worthy of it all. I'm a bad bitch, you know, like
you are worthy,
you know, and doing all the mantras. And then all of a sudden when, you know, someone would cancel a discovery call or something would get shuffled, my energy would totally right away go to, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I had to figure it out. And something that came up in my meditation, I had to stop and write it down because I thought it was so beautiful. I've never shared it with anyone, but what I got was, you know, that what we desire, humans base their worthiness mm-hmm. on a system that is built to have them earn in exchange for allowing or denying them. And so I thought that was really interesting because
beautiful,
isn't it?
It is beautiful. Yeah.
I really love that. That is built on a system to have them earn in exchange. And then of course it goes deeper, but you know, what came up was that you believe that you have to earn things, yeah. AKA love and respect. When we're born into this world as beautiful babies, love should be automatic.
Exactly.
But not all of us are born into families or environments in which love is so free flowing that we notice that we have to be a good girl, or we have to be a good boy, or we have to do these things to see a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when you don't have that constant reaction and validation, you keep chasing after it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I love that you bring up worthiness because it's been so prevalent, and worthiness and all that it encompasses.
Mm-hmm.
When we live in a society that is really designed to make us feel like you're worthy or worth it or deserving if you've earned it.
Yeah. And the other thing is, we all are worthy. We all authentic, and we just need to see it. We don't need to heal ourselves to gain our worthiness or authenticity. It's just we have some obstacles between us and our worthiness. So all we need to do is noticing it and transmuting, taking out the obstacles, actually.
Unlearning it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? And think about it this way. I mean, for me growing up, and I'm sure you have stories like this, but it was like, you know, you can have dessert if you finish your dinner. And it sounds stupid, right? Like I'm telling you that now, and you're like, haha. And it's true. But if you unpack that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Because I always love to eat the dessert first. So you talk to me, girl.
But you're sitting there going like, oh, well, if I don't, you know, and it's all these things and it sounds so simple, but it's not. So how long did it take you from your first episode at 19 to now? I mean, you sound like you're thriving and you're helping others, you know, mm-hmm. live their best life. How long was that journey for you?
Well, let's count together. I'm 35 now. now you know my
day over 25, by the way. She's gorgeous.
thank you so much.
You're a beautiful person. So 12 years.
Yeah, but like I start sharing with people in 2017, but till that date I was working on myself constantly, like non-stop work. And I think if I summarize everything I learned from my studies, it's like, if we find a way to see how worthy we are in our bones, to feel it, then there is no problem at all, because each emotion shows up only to tell us that where we are feeling unworthy.
Oh, and I love that. You're the first person to ever say that. And I'm on to the worthiness thing, and I meditate a lot about it because, you know, I do believe that it's the root cause for everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's interesting that you say that, because even self-sabotage, you know, in my practice, that's what I do. I help women identify the root of their self-sabotage and heal it. And I was really meditating on it. And self-sabotage goes back to worthiness. All of these limiting beliefs go back to worthiness.
You are so right. all
You're
of the
right.
limiting beliefs, all of the unpleasant emotions. If you are angry with a with a friend because she did not texted you back enough, fast enough, or if someone says something, you know, unpleasant, that's something that you don't like, and if you feel an emotion, if something triggers any unpleasant emotion within you, then there is an unworthiness issue, because you feel like your friend did not respond on time because she doesn't care about you, or you are not enough. And when you dig deeper and you see that you are not worthy, you feel that way.
I shared this in the episode with Deb a few days ago, but you brought it up when we first started chatting, the episode where I was talking about Christine, my stepmom. And I talk about I felt so triggered, you know, because I know better. I know that when you die, you don't really die and you just go back to non-physical form and they're all around us. And I was so caught up in this. I was pissed off and I was angry. And then I was like, why am I angry? And it wasn't anger. And as I'm digging through it, I get to abandonment. And I can just see the word in my head, and I can see my little inner child just like throwing a freaking tantrum. And I was like, oh, an abandonment went back to worthiness. And I didn't feel like I was worthy of having a maternal or paternal, you know, figure.
Oh, this is wisdom.
Right. And it goes all the way back to worthiness. Now, I think what I can highlight is that I was able to do this in a couple of days, whereas before, I would have sat in anger.
Yeah.
I would have sat in guilt. Why couldn't I be there? Why didn't she tell me? You know, I would have been pissed off at source. Like, why didn't you give me a sign? And now I was just able to unpack it and say, ask myself the right questions. Why am I angry? Why am I feeling this way? You know, what is it that's really, what's in my heart?
Yeah.
And I think that the nugget is that we have to get quiet after we ask the question.
Exactly.
You know, because abandonment came as a whisper. Right?
Yeah.
And that's healing right there.
Exactly. And once you're able to ask all those questions you mentioned or think the way you told, you get started, you start healing your, you know, muscles, your kidney, your stomach, doesn't matter. You start healing everything that, you know, gives pain to you, emotional or physical level.
Yeah, because you're letting go of the tension and you're, you know, letting go of dis-ease. I love how Joe Dispenza says that, you know, dis-ease, and you're just allowing life to come to you with ease. Mm-hmm. So I am... You know, you're my new crush. I'm obsessed with this conversation. I feel like we should have mentor. I know I say that a lot, but it's true. I mean, I meet the most fascinating people. Can you share with our listeners, you know, before we log off, where they can read more about your story, how they can work with you, how they can chat with you?
Well, first, I would like to gift everyone one sentence. I think this is one of the most important sentence I've ever received help from. Your emotions are your golden compass.
Ooh.
And they show the way where your unworthiness wound come from.
Ooh.
So
emotions are your golden compass.
Yeah, I love that sentence. And I always tell that if one day I become so you know, famous, they should quote this sentence of mine. And
I love that. In my chat with Deb last week, she said something and I was like, oh my God, we need to start making t-shirts. Like, we just have to, I need to keep a book and write like every guest name that says something incredible, and then just like have an aha moment and get back to them and say, do you realize what you said? Like, this needs to be your, because sometimes when we're inspired, you know, wisdom just comes out and we're not even aware.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we're in flow, right?
Yes, we are.
I love this sentence. And how do you work with people to help them on their healing journey?
I created my own coaching system. Of course, I'm a certified coach as well, but I worked with a system called Shift Your Reality. And it is like basically telling something, but as we are running out of time, I will not talk about it too much, but I love supporting people's journey of like reconnecting their source, their nature. So the only way to do that is reconnecting their worthiness. And I started a movement called Be Boldly You. And I have a free 5 days email challenge, email course, if anyone interests to work on their worthiness wounds, they can find it on my website or on my Instagram account with my name. And
all of that information will be in the show notes for anyone who's listening. So you can get a hold of Kubra by going to the show notes or the Coffee with Source Facebook page.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. And this is how I work with people. Actually, I just help them. I just guide people how they can understand their own nature and reconnect their worthiness. I do it by coaching, energy healing, and astrology. And the system I designed is specifically works for each person in a different way, because it's like one key cannot open all the doors.
I love that. I love that. One key can't open all the doors. Yeah, that's the new way of saying tailor-made. So did you know how resilient you were before you woke up that morning and you couldn't move?
No. 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 No.
No. No. And what is your definition of resilience now? How do you define it?
I can say feeling worthy, but if I open it up, I can say seeing the emotion that shows up in a non-judgmental way and transmuted with joy. I can say, for me, this is resilience. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you had one tip that could save someone or motivate them as they're going through, you know, either a spiritual awakening, a dark night of the soul, they're at this point where they're questioning everything, their marriage, their career, their life. You know, the pandemic, I feel, has helped many people awake consciously to the fact that there has to be more than just working and going home and going through the motions. If they're feeling lost, what would your nugget of wisdom be to help them keep walking towards the light?
Thanks for asking this. Anyone hearing me out, this message is for you. If you are in pain at an emotional or physical level, if you are having troubles in any area of your life, all those feelings, all those emotions are there just because to show you something. It is the way of the universe talking to you, because the universe is talking to each of us in a special language. So just please try to figure out what it's telling to you, and then everything will fall into place.
Yeah, I love that. Is there a question? Just to piggyback on that, is there a question that you start your, you know, curiosity with? I know when I'm not feeling right, now that I've done a lot of healing, it starts with a question. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Like I was at high school even before this episode, and I think it's where my journey actually begin. I started questioning what my parents told me, like, this is the best religion. So I thought, like, on the planet Earth, there are plenty of religions, and everyone really believes in their own belief system. So no one would say, okay, I believe in this, but my dear son or daughter, you should not believe that. Or, you know, everyone's believes that it is the best one. And what I asked and started to search at that time, I think I was at 14. Okay, what if my parents are wrong? I think this is where I decided to become a scientist as well. You know, this curiosity.
Wanted to debunk it. I have such a similar story. I feel like that's how you resonate. But
oh, yeah, really?
The priest would talk. I would fall asleep in church. It was a hot mess. And my grandma would take me, you know, once, twice. She was very Catholic. And he would say things. And I remember being like 7, 8 years old, just hearing it and like rolling my eyes and going, No, that's not what Jesus would have done, or that's not what God would have done. And just having this knowing, but also looking at my grandma and being like, no, I cannot tell her how I feel. I will crush her. But it wasn't even a skeptic doubt. It was like, no. That didn't happen. Or she would tell me stories about the priest coming to the house and, you know, they weren't allowed to wear pants when they were little girls. And I was like, God would not want that. This is bullshit, you know?
It's amazing how similar stories we have.
Yeah, and getting curious there and asking the questions of what if, I love what you just said. What if, you know, for you and your, in this case, it was your parents, people who raised you and loved you and they're your caregivers. But what if these people could be wrong or misguided themselves? Or what if this particular religion doesn't have it all right? Or what if this particular system is built on, you know, a foundation of idealistic values that are not necessarily beneficial to the masses? Just get curious.
Well, this is something I thought, and my answer for that question is, I think it doesn't matter, because I was brave enough to say no. I didn't even tell them that I was searching the religions. I was reading like all the holy books from all the religions, and they, like, I was searching Buddhism, Taoism, etc. And they didn't even know that, because I was a bookworm, and all the time I was reading, so no one didn't even see what I was doing. And I feel like if there is a fight I can't win, I don't enter it. Well, I don't get into war. I was feeling that way at that age. So I didn't even tell them if they would judge, or I don't know if they would try to stop me, but
But I don't think it would change anything. Yeah. I don't think I was in the same position, and, you know, I wouldn't have said anything, but I could see that it's not something that resonated with me. And I think it's important not to start a war, because, you know, Wayne Dyer always says, choose kindness over being right, or he said.
Yay.
But it's true. And that's what we need to do. If we know that we're right, and we know that it's not energetically in alignment with our truth, we don't need to start a war. We don't need to convince everyone.
Exactly.
Little nuggets to help them, but it's not our job. Yeah. I've enjoyed this conversation so much. And I'm grateful that you are on the show today and you've shared your story and your wisdom. I am so happy for you that you stayed curious, and look at what you've accomplished.
Oh, thanks a lot. And I'm super happy to meet you and know more about your story and being on your channel, because our vibrations are kind of dancing right now. I don't know if you can feel it, but so I'm pretty sure that many people will enjoy, and this will contribute lots of people as well. So thanks for the opportunity, and it's my pleasure and honor to be here today.
Absolutely love it. And so everyone, go reach out to Kubra. Information in the show notes and on the Coffee with Source Facebook page. And if you have any ideas or feedback, or would like to share your thoughts on resilience, please head over to the Facebook page and, you know what, let me know. Have a beautiful day.